I have the privilege to sit here with the vocalist and main man David Defy of American band Virgin Steel. And, well, how are you doing, David?
I'm okay, Tommy.
Okay. Okay, thank you. Well, thank you. I appreciate your taking time for the interview like this. And
my pleasure.
Okay. I'm just going to start with a few questions about the metal opera project that you have been touring around with. You spent a big part of your time since the releases of House of Atreus Act 1 and 2, touring around with that one. And what are your reactions to that part of your career from the fans and the press? What are the words about that one?
The Atreus stage production went quite well. It had over 50 performances.
Okay.
And mainly just in Germany, though. I haven't gone outside too much up there. Hopefully later on we'll be able to do that.
Okay.
But the reaction was really, really quite good. We got into the straight press, classical press, opera press, like that. Enjoyed it. And the audiences were interesting. It was a mixed bag. You had metal people, theater people, just, ordinary housewives and such, and people from all walks of life. It was quite nice.
Yeah.
And they all seemed to have a similar experience. It was, cathartic and enjoyable for them. So I guess it was a success on that level.
I can imagine that the whole concept is appealing to all these kind of people you mentioned. It's a mixed audience. And
quite mixed. But it was interesting. You had one evening, I remember, it was some women, they must have been, in their 70s. And they
Going,
this is heavy metal. Well, then I like it. Where can I get the CD?
Okay. Well, my next question was if you could consider doing it again, but I think you just answered the question. Will you try to do it later on again?
Yeah, well, we did the album I'm working on now, this Lilith project, was presented on stage as well, in a kind of a less complete form than House of Atreus was. I hadn't quite had, the songs were written, but they did a lot, largely, I wrote so much music, it was edited way, way down, all the songs that are like 7 or 8 or 9 minutes were like, 1.5 minutes or 2 minutes. So
okay.
It was sort of an edited version that people got. But that also got a good reaction.
Mm-hmm.
I could see doing it again, but I think the next step would be to do it so that the band itself would be on stage with it, and I would be one of the characters. So I think I'm thinking along those lines for a later project. Yeah.
Because
I think that's the next step. Or a film. This album, this Lilith thing, is quite involved, and there's probably, there's hours of music that I'm sorting through at the moment. So it would make an interesting film if somebody had the wherewithal and the time to devote to it. I would be interested in seeing it come to life in that respect.
About the upcoming album, it will be based on a kind of a similar concept as this metal opera project, and it should be based on some kind of
based on these ancient Sumerian
myths, right?
Myths, but it's also really that's just one starting point. It's about several things. It's about the destruction of paganism, Gnosticism. From the rise of first from patriarchal societies and tribes that came into an area that was more matriarchal and worshipped the goddess, and how that goddess was eradicated and made to seem something evil, and then with the rise of organized religion, how it was further compounded, the nails were driven further into the coffin of any kind of female deity.
Okay.
So it's that, and it's also concerns like a specific person who is going through something. They're going through it's a rape of cultures, it's a rape of a human being, it's a rape of a way of life, kind of a thing. So it's kind of a dark and brutal subject. And the music, lyrically or mentally, is pretty brutal. There's a lot of anguish in it.
Okay. Is there any title to the album yet, or?
I do. I haven't decided completely on which one, but it's narrowed down now.
No trouble.
So we'll know more in a few weeks.
Oh, okay. Will it be preceded by a mini CD like Firematic Music this time too, or?
This is a good question. I have enough music to do something like this. So if the label wanted to, that could be a reality. I'm not quite sure.
Okay.
It's hard enough to pare it down to the one CD. I have more than an album's worth of music, even an 80-minute CD.
Okay.
It's more than that.
Yeah.
So it's been hair pulling. I've been trying to work work on two albums at once, so it's taken longer to then see what I might want to release first. And that's where I am now. I'm in the final stages of doing like some harmony vocals and you know, a few guitars and little odds and ends, and then we start to pre-mix and then mix.
Okay. As far as I've heard, there will also be a double DVD soon. What kind of content will there be on this one? Kind of bonus material? Where is the live gig recorded and so on?
There will be a DVD. Yeah, once this record comes out, I've been accumulating footage for forever, and all the last shows we have recorded as well, and I want to do some kind of historical perspective on on the band and what we've been doing for the past, you know, I don't know, 5 to 10 years or something like that, and people get an idea of what the band's about, what makes each guy tick, and you know, what the ideology, the mythology is all about, and something of the operas, and a good portion of the band on stage, so people can see what that is and what it sounds like. But we haven't seen the band yet, and at home, a little bit of everything. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. I'm really curious about that one. Actually, a lot of your lyrics has revolved around topics of ancient cultures, their religious beliefs, pantheon myths, and so far the ancient Greek civilization seems to be the one that has dominated, and also become sort of a lyrical trademark. Exactly what is it about the ancient cultures that fascinates you so much that you want to include it to such a high degree in your music?
I think largely because the myths, the stories are timeless. They are as valid today as they were 3,000 or so years ago. So I like to use them as a reference point or starting point for what I want to talk about modern life.
Yeah.
You know, it's not really just it's not a history lesson per se that I'm trying to present. It really is a parallel to what is happening in my world and people I know's world today. And the birth of drama, you know, coincided with all that stuff, you know, and with the Greek myths as the theater. And the music should have a connection to that, because I want it to be dramatic. I want it to be something that's visual, and that's been a strong, I don't know, I've always had a strong connection to the myths because of the theater, because I grew up in a theatrical household. I was introduced to the myths and theater at the same time, and it all seems to make sense. And I like the concept of a huge pantheon of gods and goddesses frolicking about trying to be human.
Is it mostly from the theater scene that your interest come from, or is it... if you consider that many Greek tragedies are in the theatrical business, or do you have a genuine archaeological or historical interest as well?
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely, yeah. I'm a firm believer in all of that. I love to go back and see what society was like, what human nature was like. Has it changed any? You know, what was moral, immoral, you know, then, now? How have we progressed? Have we gotten worse? That kind of thing. I like to sort of sort that out.
Have you visited Greece a lot?
Oh, sure. We've played there quite a bit.
Okay.
We were there the last time we were in Greece was about 8 months ago, 7-8 months ago.
Okay. Yeah. How is the reception there? I mean,
it's wonderful. It's always very, very, very passionate, very warm.
I can imagine.
Very great feeling. It always makes us feel very, very, very welcome there. And it's an interesting place because it's the one place where you see men crying at your shows.
Oh, man, yeah.
They get very into it and they're weeping. And it's really over the top. It's a great feeling.
Must be a fantastic feeling. A little bit about your family and your background. As I understand things, you come from a family deeply involved in theater, music, arts, acting, and even dancing. Mm-hmm. How do you feel that this has affected your own definition of music and your chosen conceptual direction of Whitney Steele?
I think I couldn't have turned that any other way based on the upbringing that I had. I was surrounded by the theater with my father and classical music, and my sister was an opera and still is an opera singer, so I was introduced to that world, that music, and my other siblings were involved in rock and metal, so it was this big stew, and I didn't compartmentalize it and say, oh, this is that, and this is the other thing. It was all music, it was all powerful, it was all expression, and I just... you know, fused the whole thing in my mind as one emotion. You know, just, okay, I want to paint a picture in sound, and I draw upon all these influences from my sculptor, music, it's, you know, you're all trying to express something. So I like the convergence of all of those forms into one, you know.
Yeah. I understand that your sister Doreen is an opera singer, and she has used some of your material in her own performances. Do you have any plans to include her more in your own music? Because your metal opera project perhaps sounds very fitting.
I will have her doing some choir vocals on the new record with me.
Okay.
But I would like to actually do a complete album with her. Maybe do an album where I sing very little or don't sing at all.
Mm-hmm.
And do some kind of instrumental record, which I have been working on also, but she hasn't
done
on that yet. But that could be in the works. So I wouldn't mind doing some kind of touring that, you know, featured her as a featured vocalist, and I'd be just, you know, more of an instrumentalist. Yes, this is definitely something I'd like to do.
Okay. The next question is kind of a long one, so just bear with me sure. while I develop it. You write material in a way that kind of no one else does, as far as I know. You never seem to totally abandon a melody, and you have on several occasions let different parts and melodies return and be recycled on more songs than one, and even on more than one album. For instance, the Marriage of Heaven and Hell theme occurs both instrumental and with lyrics on many tracks. I Will Come for You, Amaliath, etc. And that has also been turned into another song. Child of the Desolation also ends with the same words and melody as Crown of Glory. Solo melody in Prometheus, the Fallen One, is the same as the chorus melody in Amaliath. Instrumental sections from Sword of the Gods has been reused and into Agony and Shame, and so on. I find it very interesting and unique, and I would like to know your general idea behind this.
But that's largely because those little motives, those themes, represent a certain character in the work, or an idea, or an emotion, and then as that emotion changes, so does the theme itself. I transpose into different keys. It goes from major to minor. It gets elaborated or truncated sometimes in some way.
Yeah.
So it brings back that person, that idea, that emotion again, because it's all connected. Because the marriage works are that's one work. You know, with Invictus, that stands on its own. Then there's the House of Atreus works, but I also see them as connected to a larger whole. And this idea of thematic development, where the thing comes back and mutates around, is from classical opera. You know, people like Wagner or Verdi, this kind of thing. Where for instance, in Wagner, the theme of the gold. The gold is transformed, or one character is transformed by the gold in the ring of the Nibelung. So the theme changes. It gets corrupt and it gets agonized. So it's the same kind of thing that happens in the Virgin Steel albums. The things are transformed as the idea changes, as the people change, and you want to recall that moment, that particular person or that particular idea. I bring that back in the theme, and as I said, I see the two works related on a larger level, in that Orestes or Cassandra, these people are Endymion, Emulate in another incarnation, this kind of thing.
Mm.
So he's drawing parallels to that, and that's why I use those things.
Okay.
Now and again.
Okay, that's very interesting, because I've thought about that quite a lot over the years. Are you a multi-instrumentalist? Is the keyboard your main or only instrument? How do you compose music? Is it sometimes guitar? How many instruments do you play?
Well, everything based on the piano.
On the piano.
Or some sort of keyboard. And then I orchestrate the things, you know, later on, using keyboard sounds or whatever, you know, but I need to orchestrate them.
Okay.
But mainly I write either just, you know, from a vocal perspective or from the piano. All those heavy riffs come from acoustic piano, normally.
To me, you seem like a pretty well-educated man, and you have much knowledge in matters of religion and divine perceptions, and I think it feels justified to ask you if these religious ideas that so often figure in your lyrics are something that you embrace as a private person. Do you consider yourself as a religious man?
Not religious. I wouldn't use that word. I do see myself as aware of spirituality in myself and other people and the world at large. I don't embrace a particular religion. religion. If I had to call myself anything, I guess I'd call myself some sort of a pagan. You know, more akin to those kinds of worship.
Okay. Yeah.
But I believe that humanity has a divine spark, and we would do well to reach down and reacquaint ourselves with that divine spark that resides within us. It burns low sometimes. Sometimes it burns higher, but it is there, and one must try to live their life to awaken it to its full potential at all times. You know, sometimes you lose it, sometimes you regain it, sometimes it flames on, sometimes it's thin.
Exactly. And of course, you are a very creative man, full of musical and artistic ideas. But how does it look outside music? Do you have any other channels for your creativity? Painting, writing books, novels, movie scripts, something like that?
I've been channeling it mainly in the music, you know, and the lyrics and such. I would like to write a book at some point, and I'd like to do a film. And this album that I'm working on now, all this music, is going sort of in that direction. And I really am looking forward to working on the DVD, because it'll push my film aspirations further. I'd like to get that going. I really would be happy to. That's, I think, music combined with the visual has really been an untapped resource. You know, people have videos and MTV's been out for quite some time now, but and there's some great things, but I don't think there's any video that's really come on par with an amazing moment in a film when that music and that image come together, also with some dialogue, you know. So I'd really like to see if these songs could be heightened in some kind of a film video convergence.
Okay, interesting. How do you continue to evolve your music nowadays, and where do you find the inspiration or inputs, ideas for taking the next steps musically?
I think it's from being awake and being aware of letting new things come in and going back to the well, studying. You know, I take music seriously, so I go back and I try to learn as much as I can and go back and maybe check out what Beethoven was doing and see if that makes any sense to you. And you draw little things, inspirations along the way from things like that, and just from, you know, living life, you know, the things that you encounter in your daily life. That's the, and have your antenna up for when inspiration may come, and as quickly as possible run to the tape recorder or the piano or a sheet of music to try to get that down. But you have to constantly be learning, and I think all the time, and developing. That's the thing that's kept the albums progressing, is because I've always been trying to gain more knowledge as a musician, as a player, as a singer, as every facet, and just as a human being, just to try to become a better human being all the time. And that is a task in itself. So I'm open to developing on all levels, and that's what I think keeps me going. When I feel that I don't think I can say anymore, and I think I'm, you know, repeating myself, then I'll stop.
Does it feel as you've reached where you initially aimed when you created Virtus Steel? What more is there for you and the band to accomplish? What kind of goal and aim do you have?
I'd like to do more things, stylistic changes, things that are maybe a wedding of sorts of the metal and more bluesy type things. I mean, there's so many different areas I'd like to go musically, lyrically as well. We'll see. As far as other goals, we'd like to reach more people, play more, even more countries than we've played, and of course, yet raise the profile that much further, so more people could be aware of the music. But that has to happen in its own natural, organic, you know, manner. We're not like really ever been salesmen going around going, oh, go buy my record. You know, it's not. The band's never been like that.
Okay, I'm going to give you some space now to freely and open-heartedly talk about your career. What would you say has been the most, or the absolute highlight and downside so far?
The highlights have been, really, I'd say the past several years have been just amazing. Just doing these shows that we've done, these incredible festivals, whether they be in Italy or Germany or wherever we've played. And just communicating with people on this wonderful level where everyone's just singing and really getting the point of the music and weeping, as you know, as they do sometimes, or shouting, whatever, and have that cathartic effect. I just love that feeling on stage. And artistically, you know, making these records, especially the marriage records and how spacious things, I was really happy to be able to put my ideas, my, you know, open my brain up and put that on record for posterity so people can say, yeah, you know, that's pretty cool, or whatever they thought about it. So those, for me, have been the triumphs. And over the years, being able to make some sort of a living from doing this, you know, because you put so much time and energy into the thing, you'd like to get some kind of feedback, monetarily speaking. And that finally happened, you know, several years back. So all those things are great. It's Virgin Steel has never been so much of a career, per se, as it's been a way of life, which I have convinced several people to join me in for a long period of time. You know, and that's really what it is. It's a way to be. It's a philosophy. It's a spiritual movement. It's music. It's a rock band.
Mm-hmm.
There's all these things. But it's never been like a business, strictly a business proposition. Never done anything, you know, for that. It's always been, you know, for the love of the music is what's driven the band.
That is also the feeling you kind of get when you look at the band and see you because that's at least the feeling I've had, that it's really something you do for the love of it and not like a chosen career or something like that. You really radiate that, if I may say so.
Yeah, it's a passion, you know. It's the reason why I get up in the morning is to do this.
Yeah, exactly.
To reach people musically, you know, lyrically, whatever. And if that's working and it's paying the bills, great. But if it's not paying the bills, then I'll go back to doing something else.
Mm. There are a few bands that you always think, like, man, how come they are not bigger or more popular or something like that? And I think Virgin Steel is one of those. Are you satisfied with your deal in terms of support, promotion, economical fundings from the record company over the years? Do you think you could have become bigger if you got more promotion?
There are
support?
Times in the history of the business side of it that things that we've done, things could have been better. We could have gotten more support, and there's times when the support was, you know, was pretty good. There always could be more, and there always could be. I think it's been a hard. This kind of ideology that we're talking about is sometimes hard to sell to the knowledge behind the desk. You know, if they don't get it, if they're not part of it, they don't know what to do with it. And Virgin Steel sometimes has been some labels. They didn't quite know what to do with Virgin Steel. How do we present it? How do we take that vision and bring it to more people? A lot of people lack the vision to present the vision. You know. So I'm hoping that we can find the right people, the new people at Sanctuary now again. Hopefully they'll believe in the new record and they'll go for it and we can go a lot further, because it would be nice to go even further. Sure.
Absolutely.
You know, you want to stay in the game.
Of course.
You want to keep doing it.
Exactly.
So
have you ever had any offers or plans of producing other bands' material, and what would a dream partner be to collaborate with in these terms?
I have done productions, you know, besides Virgin Steel in the past, they've done crazy thrash things like Exorcist and Pile Driver and other things along the way.
Okay.
I'd be happy to work with other musicians and do, you know, working on from the studio side, because I'd like to be in the studio. Sure, absolutely.
Mm.
As far as me personally playing with other people on one of my projects and my songs, I would really like to work with Brian May from Queen.
Gotta
get a hold of him one of these days.
Okay. Sounds like an interesting duo. And okay, the next question, I don't know, you can pass on it if you like, I don't know if it gets too personal, but before the Germany Banger Head Festival and Finland's Numerok, it was announced that Virgin Steel had to cancel their appearances due to you going through some medical tests. Could you give us a little bit more details? Is it serious? Have you been sick? Have you got some kind of treatment or something?
I had some problems at that point in time, which had to be addressed. They turned out to be not as big as in the grand scheme of things as they could have been.
Mm-hmm.
And so I was kind of lucky. And also I was, some doctors are alarmists, you know, and they find something and they think it's going to be the end of the world.
Mm-hmm.
And you're going to be dead in a week. That kind of a thing. So I was going through a little bit of that, which is also a mind flip, because you know, I got all this shit I got to get done, you know.
Of course, yeah.
My and I had to just undergo these tests, find out what the situation was, and address that, and it's been addressed, and generally I'm pretty much back in fighting form.
Okay, I'm very glad to hear. Okay, I'm about to round up these things here. I have two questions, or actually one question left, but I just thought about a little association thing that I'm going to do with you. I'm going to drop a few names, the band names, and I want you just to name or to say what your spontaneous reaction is for those bands, just a few sentences or something. If I start with Manowar.
Wonderful singer, very, very powerful, very energetic,
okay.
Great band.
Next one is Edguy, or Tobias Sammet.
Very friendly chap. I'm not as familiar with his work as I should be,
okay.
But very nice guy.
Okay. Next one, I don't know, Italian band Rhapsody. Have you ever heard?
Sure. Very, okay. very nice people. I'm familiar with their work. Actually, Alex has been a very good friend. He's sent me all the CDs, so I'm quite familiar with their stuff. Very good band. Heavy metal Vivaldi. Yeah, that's
okay. Oh, yeah. next one is Swedish band Hammerfall.
Nice guys. Thanks for bringing us on the road and sharing the road.
Oh yeah, you actually were on tour with them.
We did 41, 42 shows with them.
That's true. Yeah. I was about to see you, but unfortunately I missed it out. But okay, last one out is our Swedish pride, Yngwie Malmsteen. Any thoughts about
him? Malmsteen. Oh, wonderful guitar player. Yeah, okay. I think he's done amazing things for the guitar. I actually just saw him maybe a few months back, and he was playing brilliantly. Yeah, always
okay.
I would like to work with him too.
Okay,
I think he would be very interesting.
That would be really, really interesting, I have to say.
Well, if you know him, tell him I'd be happy to work with him.
Okay, I'll tell him next time. Okay, the last question is just a funny thing. I understood that one of your other interests is swords, and that you have your own little private collection, as far as I understand. But what exactly are we talking about here? Is it the real deal, or is it more like movie replicas or such?
No, I have a couple of things that people have made. This is the more commercial kind of swords. Mm-hmm. Yes, I have a few of those, and most of those I've gotten as gifts along the way. And they're very nice. They look good on the wall, but I wouldn't whack a tree with it. It might shatter.
Yeah.
But some of them are quite well made, actually.
Mm-hmm.
I have quite a few swords from different periods of time. I have some old Roman things. I have some Spanish Crusade era pieces. I have tons of old fencing foils. I have a sword that was made for me, and it's on the cover of one of the records. That is the most ridiculous thing you've ever seen. If you look at it wrong, it'll pierce you. It's like it's huge. It must be about 70 some pounds.
It's
about 5 feet tall. And the blade must be about 6 or 7 inches wide and like an inch or so thick.
Incredible.
Yeah, I enjoy them. I like the way they feel on your hand. I like the shape of them. I like what they mean. They're kind of the whole point of the sword that on stage, you've seen this when I come out with the sword and it's on fire and whatnot. This is like, that's sort of the spiritual side of the thing. It's cathartic. It's cleansing. It's with this not like a marriage with this ring. I be wed, but with this sword, I be cleave and the good from the bad. I eradicate that which is not noble in your life, and
okay.
We are born again in this new fire.
Yeah.
You know.
Okay, interesting. Okay, yeah. Well, I have to finish things here because I'm out of questions, and it was a very nice chat. I thank you very much for it.
Thank you, Tommy.
And I'm looking very much forward to the upcoming album and DVD, and I hope to catch you on tour sometimes. Is it possible to come to Sweden or this summer, Sweden Rock Festival or something like that?
I hope so. We really enjoyed our stay at Sweden Rock last time that we played. It was a wonderful experience for us.
Okay.
And I think the record will be out shortly, and then we would be able to do all those summer festivals, and I hope we'll be asked to do Sweden Rock. That'd be great.
I certainly hope so too. Okay, David, thank you very much.
Thank you, Tommy. All the best to you.
Okay, thank you.